we're holding on Lamadhei on the bays, six lines from the bottom, just to finish up that, to recap that thing that we left open yesterday, which I realized the answer to after we got done with the shiur. The reason, what the Gemara had ended up saying was when Rabba had said the idea that there's a chiddush with a knas, that even though a person gets killed, even though a person may be chayiv misa, they're still chayiv in the knas. And we were discussing, so how does that fit with the fact that the next Mishnah says that in the case of Habo'al Bitoy, he's potter from the knas. The answer is Rabba is saying that only according to Reb Meir. The Gemara's point yesterday was we had a machlokas between Ula and Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. Ula for this purpose is not relevant. Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish are that Rabbi Yechanan holds these Mishnayos in this parak are according to everybody, not Rabbi Meir, and Rish Lakish is the one who holds they're according to Rabbi Meir. So that's what the Gemara had said, that how the question was, according to Rabba, who would the Mishnayos be like? They can't be according to Reb Meir. And the answer is, you're right. You have to say that Rabba agrees with Reb Yochanan. The Mishnayos are not, in fact, like Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, yes, chidush v'shechid shetorah v'knas. So therefore, in the first Mishnah and also in the next Mishnah, he would, in fact, be chayiv in the knas. But Rabba Rabba holds not like Rish Lakish, who says that the Mishnayos are according to Reb Meir, but rather like Reb Yochanan, who says that they are not. And therefore, no stira. So the detail that I was missing was that detail that Rabba is only talking according to Reb Meir. All right. Okay. So now I realized it as I was walking. Yeah. So we're holding Lamed Hei Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Arayus Ushnias La Arayus Ein Lahen Leknas Vele Pitri. The Arayus, on the face of it, Arayus means the ones that are also Darayus. Shnias would mean the ones that are also Darabbanan that we learned about in Yevamos. We'll explore that soon. But on the face of it, that's what it means. Ein lahem like knas v'lai pitri. Neither knas for an anusa, nor the din of pitri for a mafata applies to them. Tosfos discusses over here why are we calling knas? Knas sounds like it means onus, but on the face of it, knas usually means onus and mafata. So Tosfos explains that there is a logical reason to call the case of onus a knas because you have the side, both of them have to pay money. That's pretty much the same between them, except that, okay, an onus has to pay tsar as well, but that's a minor detail. The more major thing, though, is that an onus, as we'll learn later in the parak, has to marry the girl if she or her father want to. He doesn't have a choice in the matter, even if she's ugly or deformed or what have you. Therefore, we can call that a knas.
And he
can't divorce her. That's another thing, as opposed to the mfato, who has a choice in the matter. Incidentally, by the way, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in Kovitz Yurim points out an interesting detail based on that. If we're saying, according to Tosfos, that we're calling the fact that the onus has to marry the girl a knas, that would imply that only a Beis Din Shel Smuchim can deal with it. That would mean that nowadays, if a person is ma'anis, if a man is ma'anis a girl, then there wouldn't be that din of because we don't have a Beis Din Smuchim, and they can't apply knasim.
Only a
Beis Din Smuchim can handle issues of knasim, yeah, of knas, yes. Having said that, though, the poskim do paskin that particular detail, the 50 shkolim, indeed doesn't apply nowadays because it's a knas and you don't have a Beis Din Smuchim to deal with it, but the having to marry her does still apply nowadays in principle, and therefore that's not a knas, unlike what Tosfos is saying.
Not?
That is not. The fact that he has to marry her is not considered a knas. For one thing, nowadays, that's another matter. The secular law would put... Right. Okay, because Tosfos is not the last word on it. I mean, for example, the Shitim Rukubetis talks about it, that maybe he brings other Gersois over here, that maybe the wording in the Gemara is not like Knas Velay Pitri, but rather like Onus Velay Pitri. Whatever, anyway.
Knas something modern.
That's another argument also, that knas consider that's another argument against Tosfos as well. Yeah, that knas consists of having to pay something, not of having to do something like marry her. Okay, anyway, that was just a side thing. Continues the Braith. So Hamama Enes, a girl who does miyun, as we learned about in Yevamos, that a girl who was married off of Chachila by her sisters, by her brothers or mother or whatever after her father died, is allowed to do miyun. She's allowed to, at some point during the marriage, say that I don't want to be married to this guy, and she can leave him without a get. Also, the dinim of knas and pitri don't apply to her. Why not? We'll talk about soon. Ilonis ain lalo knas vale pitri. Another case, and Ilonis, as we learned about in Yevamos and earlier in our Masechta, a girl who never physically matures and she develops certain signs that indicate that she's never going to. Also, there's no knas or pitri. And one more, v'hayotis mishum shem ra, a woman who has to leave because of shem ra, also, because of a bad name, ain lalo knas vale pitri. Also. Now, usually, hayotis mishum shem ra would mean the case of moiti shem ra that we're going to talk about extensively in the next parak. You have the case where a husband comes to Beis Din after he gets married, and he has not only a tainus psulim, which we talked about in the first parak, but he claims his wife is not a psula, but he claims to have evidence, actually, that she was mizana after the erusin. Which in that case, then in that case, if it's found that she's guilty, she's chayiv misa, and if it turns out that he's lying and that he had that edim azomim, then he gets punished instead. We'll learn all the details in the next parak. No, yotzis means, usually the word yotzis means that she has to leave her husband, that she has to be divorced. Mishum shame ra, but the Gemara is going to ask later, wait a minute, if she's yotzis mishum shame ra, then she's getting killed anyway, she's getting skila for this nus. What are we talking about, knas or pitri? How is that even relevant? As well, also, I mean, Mephoshim also asked the question that yotzis mishum shame ra means the husband already had relations with her, because that's the only case when he turned tainus psulim, and in that case, she's not a psula anymore. Knas and pitri aren't relevant anyway. Those are only relevant to a psula. So we'll revisit that later on in Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Okay, so thus far the Brais. First thing we got to ask then, the Gemara says, my arayas or my shnius la arayas. What does the Brais mean by the words arayas and shnius la arayas? Ilei ma arayas mamash and shnius medivrei sofim. Doesn't mean the usual definition. Arayas means any of the ones that the Torah says are also in Parshas Achrei Mos, all the ones that are chayav karet or misas based in. And shnius would mean all the ones that are also medrabanan that we learned about early in Yevamos. That the Chachamim authored various ones because they're very similar to the ones deraisa. Well, in that case, you have to ask kibin de deraisa chazulei. In that case, with the shnius, why would you be potter from the knas? Given that midaraisa, this woman is perfectly able to marry you, am I ein lahen knas? Then why indeed shouldn't there be a knas? The shnius. We said at the beginning of the perek that the general rule is wherever you have v'loy tia le'isha, that she's capable of marrying him. That kedushin our tofus. Well, that was according to Shimon Atimni. We'll revisit that in a second. But as long as kedushin our tofus, then the rules of knas apply. Kedushin are definitely tofus by shnius because it's only also midrabanan. Midaraisa, she's certainly able to marry him. Okay, you're going to argue maybe they're not allowed to stay married. Fine, but how do the chachamim with their takana of shnius? How do they have the right to take away that right of hers to get the knas, to get the 50 shkalim? So no, can't be. Ela arayas chayvim misas pastin. So no, the word arayas in our brayis, so we have to understand, means a specific type of arayas, the ones that are chayvim misas pastin. And shnius doesn't have the usual meaning that it does throughout Shas of the second level ones that are only also midrabanan. Rather, it means chayvim krisis. It means the ones that are also daraisa, but only chayvim karis. Which would imply avo chayvim lavan yeshlan knas. The implication would be that the chayvim lavan do get a knas. As opposed to the crisis. Umani Shimon HaTimnihi. Then this braisa would be according to Shimon HaTimni. We learned at the beginning of the perek that Shimon HaTimni holds that when the pasuk says v'loiti le'isha means that the dinim of knas, the dinim of onus and mafata apply to any woman who kedushin are tofus with. Well, kedushin are tofus with chayvi lavin, according to Shimon HaTimni himself, which is also the halacha. Therefore, onus and mafata apply to them. As opposed to chayvi krisis, which that would also mean that this braisa is arguing with the first Mishnah of our parak, because the Mishnah had said there that the chayvi krisis do get knas.
Because they're
tofus. No, not because they're tofus. No, we said that maybe even kedushin aren't tofus with them, but nevertheless we brought psukim over there to say that the dinim of onus and mafata apply to chayvi lavin and chayvi krisis as well. We had naira hanaira, b'sulah sabsulah.
The knas applies. When the kedushin
are tofus? No. Let's review the dinim in brief. The dinim of mafata is as follows. A man is mafata a girl, a naira, or possibly a tana, as we'll talk about soon. Then, when the matter comes to Beis Din, he has a choice. If he wants to marry her, then that's it. He marries her and writes her a regular ksuba, like for a psula. plus he also has to pay the nezek and the boshes. If any of them don't want to get married, in this case with Mephatha, either he or she or her father have the choice to say no, then in that case he pays her the 50 shkalim as the pass, plus he pays nezek and boshes. In the case of Oynes, there's no choice in the matter. If he, well, let's put it this way, that she or her father have a choice, they can turn down him marrying her. Either way, he has to pay the 50 shkalim, whether he wants to marry her or not. He pays the 50 shkalim. If he wants to marry her, he doesn't have a choice. He has to marry her. If they want him to marry her, then he marries her, fine. But he still pays the 50 shkalim. We'll talk about later on whether it belongs to her or her father in the different circumstances, as well as he pays nezek, tsar, and boshes, and that passes. So the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek had mentioned that both Chayvei Lavan and Chayvei Krisis get a knas. So now we're saying this Braisa disagrees with that. This Braisa would say that only Chayvei Lavan. Ikadamri, another version, is that we could understand the Braisa as follows. Arayas means Chayvei Misses based in V'Chayvei Krisis. That Arayas means both Chayvei, both ones that are Misses based in and ones that are Karis. Whereas Shnias would be Chayvei Lavan. Would be also ones that are also Daraisa, but ones that are only also under a lav. Mani, Rav Shimon Menasihi, that would be according to Rav Shimon Menasihi, again at the beginning of the Perek, who said that the loy tiyala isha doesn't mean that kedushin are tofus. It means someone who you're allowed to stay married to. Well, chai v'lavin, kedushin are tofus, but you're not allowed to stay married to them. So therefore, he would say that's what the braisa means, that even shnius, even the chai v'lavin, don't get a knas because you can't apply the loy tiyala isha in that case. Then the Braisa continued, that we said that a girl who does miyun doesn't get knas or pitri, which on the face of it again means that she was married to her husband. She decided to do miyun, I don't want to be married anymore, and now she leaves, and that presumably the reason why she doesn't get a knas is because Rashi said earlier is because once she's married, she has a chazaka already of having been in ba'ula, that she's already had relations. Well, if she had relations, then the whole thing of onus and mefata is not shayach because it only applies to a b'sula. However, the problem with that is haktana ba'alma isla. The implication then from the braisa is a regular ktana who was never married yet does have knas and pitri.
As a consequence of the
Mamanis. No, forget about Mamanis. We're saying, if the Braisa is saying that a Mamanis does not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, then the implication is, but a regular Ktana would. Yeah. Now, who is that? Mani Rabbanan. Now, who would that be according to? That would be according to the Rabbanan. Again, we had at the beginning of the Perek, Dami Ktana Yesh Lechnas. They said, even though the Pasuk says Naira, they understood it to mean a Ktana as well. However, Ema Sefer, but then continue, what does the Braisa continue? Ilonis ain la loy knas v'loy pitri. We said that an Ilonis also has no knas and no pitri. Also, the Rav Meir. That seems to be according to Rav Meir. Da'am ktana ain la knas. Why would we say, what would be the logic to say that an Ilonis doesn't get a knas? The Pashtus, the logic is because an Ilonis never goes through the stage of Naira. She starts out as a ktana. Ktana ain la knas, v'ham ktat nusa yasa la beggar. An Ilonis never has a Naira stage. She goes from being a Ktana up until 20 or up until when she develops Simona Ilonis, and she becomes a Begeris after that. She never goes through the stage of Naira. So what would be the logic to say that an Ilonis doesn't get a Knas of Pitri, presumably because she's never a Naira? Well, that would be according to the Meir, that it has to be Davka a Naira. According to the Chachamim, there'd be no reason to deny her the Knas of Pitri. She's a Ktana? Okay, but a regular Ktana does get. So the question is, Reisha Rabbanan v'Sefer Rameir. So what are you telling me? The first part of this Braisa goes according to the Rabbanan, and the second part goes according to the Meir? That's not usual. The Chitei Makula Rameir. Okay, you might answer that actually the whole Braisa does go according to the Meir. Uvum Ma'enes Savala Kura Yehuda. And you would say when it comes to Miun is different. Maybe Miun, Rav Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll quote in a minute, that Rabbi Yehuda says that actually it's possible for a girl to do Miun even past being a Ktana. We've always assumed, and we learned in Yuvamas, that only a Ktana can do Miyun. But we're going to see now that there's actually a Machlokas Tanoim about that, that there is an opinion that she can actually do Miyun as a Naira. So therefore, you would argue that the Braisa is saying as follows, Amma Ma'enes has no Knas and no Pituri, in other words, not as opposed to a Ktana, but as opposed to any other Naira. As if there's a Naira who was never married, then of course she has a Knas or Pitzri. That's the case the Torah is describing. And Ilonis wouldn't have Knas or Pitzri because she's never a Naira. And then it's according to the mayor, who says that there's never a Knas or Pitzri Bektana. So there you go. The problem with that is, we saw the law. Really? How, are you telling me that a mayor really holds a Rabbi Yehuda in that? V'hatanya. But we have a braisa. Ad mosse abas ma'anis, up until what point can a girl do miyun? Ad shetavi shtei sairus, until she develops shtei sairus, which is the definition that shtei sairus makes her a naira. From that point, the clock starts ticking. 6 months after that, she becomes a begeris. Dibra meir. And Rashi points out, by the way, an important detail over here. When we say ad shetavi shtei sairus, now, if after Shtei Cyrus, her husband afterwards had relations with her, then there's no question. Everybody agrees at that point she can't be Mamayan anymore. Because once she's a Naira, the marriage is in effect Minatera. The whole reason why she can do Mirun is because her marriage as a Tana only existed Dirabanan. So the Rabbanan made the Takana that that her mother or brothers can marry her off. So they also made the Takana that she can do Mirun.
Even if the Finis, but she doesn't want to have relations with her.
In this case, she's already married to him. B'chlal, a husband's not supposed to force his wife. We learned way back in Erevin, Osladim Shiyaku Fishtel Adra Mitzvah. Within that, you have the more general question: if a husband forces his wife for Adra Mitzvah, what recourse she has? That's a whole issue in Shulchan Aruch. Let's not get into that right now. But for our purposes, what's important is any relations they had while she was a Ketana don't change anything. The marriage still only existed Rabbanan. Any relations they have after she becomes a Naira make the marriage be in effect Minat Torah. They're doing it for the sake of marriage. However, so we're talking about over here, if they didn't have relations after Shtei Cyrus, that nevertheless, your mayor is saying that Shtei Cyrus, that's it. That's the cutoff point, no more Mune. Rabbi Hoda says no, until there's more black over the white. Now, what does that mean? It sounds, on the face of it, it sounds like it means like there's a lot of hair over there, so like there's a lot of black hair. The Gemara actually, Rashi quotes over here, Rashi and Tosfos both quote over here from the Gemara in Nida, what it really means is that the hairs are long enough that it can still be two individual hairs, but not like Rav Meir, who says that the definition of Shtei Cyrus is fairly short, when they're just short enough to be able to bend over to end to end, or even maybe the Chumra big enough to be able to be cut with scissors. It'd have to be a little longer than that, so that when they're laying flat, it looks like there's a lot of hair there. Now, Tosfos actually has another interesting explanation. Sheyir b'shachar alalavan means if you look at a typical hair, you find the shaft of the hair is not on an old person, of course, but in a young person, the shaft of the hair is black or red or what have you, whatever the color hair is, but the end of it tends to be more whitish because it's thinner. That's what it means. Now, actually, Yerba Shachar Alavan means that the black part of the hair is larger than the whiter part, longer than the white part. Whatever the case, the point is, Rabbi Huda is saying that even after Shtei Cyrus, even after the two hairs develop very short, there's still a period of time when she's a Naira, when she's able to do Miyun, as long as they haven't had relations yet, until Sheyabe Shachar Alalavan. So fine, Rabbi Huda holds that. Rabbi Meir clearly disagrees. So how are you telling me that our braisa that we quoted before when we said that a ma'enes has no knas and no pitri implying, but a regular ketana does, and on the other hand, an ilonis doesn't have, presumably because she's a ketana and then she becomes a begeris? How could you say that's according to the mayor when the mayor himself says that the cutoff point for miyun is when she becomes a naira? So there's no time when she's a naira and is able to do miyun. According to the mayor, you're either a katana and able to do miyun, or you're a naira and not able to do miyun, but you're able to get the knas. According to the mayor, knas only applies to a naira. So in our braisa, when we said in our braisa then that a girl who's able to do miyun, hamama enes, we said does not get a knas or pidri. What's the implication? Because she did miyun, because she was married and presumably has already had relations with her husband, that's why she's not able to have. That's why she doesn't have knas or pitzri anymore. Because we assume she's not a psula anymore. But if she had never been married yet, then she would be able to. But that wouldn't be according to the mayor. According to the mayor, Kana never gets knas or pitri. According to him, only a naira does. And on the other hand, then we're saying Ilonis doesn't get a knas or pitri. Why not? Again, that works. So the first part of the braisa doesn't work according to the mayor, because according to the mayor, it's not just a ma'enes doesn't get a knas or pitri. Any kana doesn't get a knas or pitri. And once she leaves the status of being able to do mirin, is only when she enters into the status of being able to have knas or pitri. On the other hand, then according to the Chachamim, if according to the Chachamim both a Ktana and a Naira can have a Knas, then why shouldn't an Ilonis get one? An Ilonis is a Ktana, fine, but according to them, a regular Ktana gets. Ella, no, Rabbi Yehuda, he. Let's say then that this Braisa that we quoted before goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or a Ktana, so have a look at Rabbi Meir. So we can say that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir, that a Ktana does not get a Knas. So therefore, when it comes to the Ma'anes, again, Rabbi Huda is the one who says that a Naira is able to do Miyun, Achiyir B'Shachar Al-Alavam, until the hairs grow a little longer. So therefore, according to him, the Braisa would be saying that a Ma'anes does not get a Knas or Pitri, does not get a Knas. Why? Because she's B'Cheskes Ba'ula. Had she not been a Ma'anes, had she never been married and she's still a Naira, then she would, because the Torah says, Ki Yimseish Naira B'Sula. But since he holds like Rav Meir that a Ktana does not get Knas or Pitri, that would be why he says an Ilonis doesn't get, because an Ilonis is a Ktana until she becomes a Begeris. However, again, the question is, Omi Sovrala, are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rav Meir? Va'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab, Zud Divir Rav Meir. Later on in the Perek, we have a Mishnah, we quoted it briefly at the beginning of the Perek, that the Mishnah says, a general rule, whenever you have Knas, you don't have Mecher. And whenever you have mecher, you don't have knas. Mecher, we said, is that the father is able to sell the daughter as an omar ivriya. So he can only do that when she's a ktana. But on the other hand, as a ktana, there's no knas. Knas only kicks in when she's a naira. But as a naira, he can't sell her anymore. And Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, there's zud divir Rav Meir. That Mishnah is only according to Rav Meir. The im isa, now if you're telling me that Rav Yehuda agrees with Rav Meir that a ktana does not get a knas, then the Gemara should have said that Mishnah, later on towards the end of the Perek, goes according to the mayor and according to Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is, Hai Tana, Sovra Lokar, a mayor b'chada, or Poligalai b'chada. No, rather, let's say that the Braisa that we quoted before holds like Rabbi Meir in one regard. It's a different Tana. It's not Rabbi Meir, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, but he agrees with the mayor in one aspect. He agrees that a ktana doesn't get a knas. That's why the Ilonis doesn't get a knas either. Or poligalei b'chada, but he disagrees about miyun. He says, like Rabbi Yehuda says about miyun, that you can do miyun up until shiur b'hashachar. The Rambam, by the way, has a different shita on this. The Rambam holds that indeed a ktana does not have a knas or pitri, which is like Rav Meir. On the other hand, the Rambam also holds that miyun can only be done as long as she's a ktana, not once the two hairs develop, which is according to Rabbi Yehuda. And he holds that an Ilonis doesn't get a knas, which we seem to be saying over here goes like Rav Meir. So why is that? In fact, the Raiva disagrees with the Rambam on that. He says, what are you talking about? An Ilonis doesn't get a knas. That would be we're saying that's according to the mayor, according to the Chachamim. There's no reason she shouldn't. So there's a number of different explanations that Mefarshim have, but one of them that the Mefarshim and the Rambam have, one of them is that when the Gemara says here, Hai Tana Savala Kira Meir Bechada or Poligale Bechada, what it really means is that the Tana agrees with Rav Meir about that a Tana does not get a Knas, but he disagrees with him about Ilonis. So therefore, the Rambam can be paskening that an Ilonis doesn't get a Knas, and also paskening that a Tana doesn't get a Knas, without it being a contradiction. There's other answers as well. Yeah, there's other answers as well. One of them being the Kesef Mishnah says that you could also make a distinction. You know why an Ilonis doesn't get a Knas is because she's a ktana who's never going to become a naira. A regular ktana, yes, might well get a knas. But the Rambam paskens that a ktana does get a knas. But an Ilonis, though, is different. Because she's a ktana who's never going to become a naira, that's a different kind of thing. That's it. It's different. When do we say that Tana gets a knas? The kind who's eventually going to become a naira, but an eilonis never will. Rafra mama, Rafram gives another answer. Maimama enes. What does the braisa mean when it says a girl who does miyun? It doesn't mean that she actually did miyun. Haruyalamine. It just means a girl who's capable of doing miyun, meaning that she's a ktana. So then the whole braisa can be like Rameh. A ktana doesn't get it, doesn't have a knaf, and Ilonis doesn't have a knaf, and there you go. The question is, well, listen, if ktana, if that's the case, why say mama enes? Why not just say flat out ktana? Akasha. Akasha. And Tosfos says, Tosfos asks, why didn't the Gemara just answer very simply? The very reason why the Braisa is telling us Mema Enes rather than Ktana is precisely to tell us that point, that only a Ktana can do Miyun. Then we said, Ilonis ain't like Knas for a Pitri. We said that in Ilonis there's no Knas and there's no Pitri. Or a Mini, but I have a contradiction. Another Braisa says, Achershes Vashot of Ilonis, Yeshlan Knas. That the Yeshla and Tainas Psulim, that a Chersha, a deaf mute girl, Vashoita, Vahilonis, Yeshla and Knas, they do get a Knas, Onus or Petri, the Yeshla and Tainas Psulim. And also they're able to, and also their husbands are able to make a Tainas Psulim against them, as we learned in the first paragraph, that if their husband finds her not a Psula, then he has a claim in Beis Din to make her, whether we discuss whether to make her lose her Ksuba altogether or to have it reduced down to 100, to 100 Zuz. So they might ask back, so what's the problem? So what's the stira? Hora meyer, hora baran. Very simple. You have one braisa that says that an Ilonis doesn't get a knas. That would be according to the mayor. That an Ilonis being a ktana doesn't get a knas because an Ilonis never gets a knas. This braisa that says that an Ilonis does get a knas would be according to the chachamim, that a ktana does. The Gemara says, you're right. Okay, Taka, whoever brought this question to the Beis Medrash, what were they thinking? Why did they bother? Didn't they realize that you could just answer it like that? The reason is, the Gemara answers, Mishum de Isla le Mirma Achriti, because actually, he didn't bring it so much in order to point out the stira between these two braises. He wanted to bring a third braisa that contradicts this. Namely, the braisa says, a chershes v'ashoita v'habageres, a girl is a bageres, more than 6 months, or 6 or more months after shteitzaris, umukaseitz, or a girl who was injured by wood, as we learned in the first paragraph, and lost her psulim that way. All of them ain't lam tainas psulim, the husband doesn't have a tainas psulim against them. In the case of a bageres, we'll talk about soon, that he does have one kind but not another, we'll get to that soon. Hasuma v'ha'ilonis, on the other hand, a blind girl or an ilonis, yesh lahen tainas psulim, with them there is a tainas psulim, if he finds them to not be a psula. Sumchus mishum rameyo, suma ema tainas psulim, whereas Sumchus says in the name of rameyo that a blind girl there is no tainas psulim. Now, the implication is, we're assuming whenever there's a tainas psulim, there's also the dinim of knas and pitri. Because if we assume her to be a psula, then there's no reason that she shouldn't collect it. So if we have a braisa that's saying that an ilonis has a tainas psulim, and Sumchos is arguing and saying a blind girl doesn't, but an ilonis presumably does, so then ilonis does have a knas. But we said before that Meir holds an ilonis doesn't have a knas. So what is it? That was the point why we brought in the second braisa. Amrav Sheshes like Kasha Harav Gamliel v'Harav Yeshua. You know, the answer is that we learned back in the first parak, we had a machlokas, we had four different mishnayos that had a machlokas between Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua. In particular, one of them, the first one of them, was the case where he has a tainas psulim. She's counter-arguing, she's saying that after the erusin, I was raped, and therefore nistach v'sadeo, it's your tough luck, you can't pass our marriage and reduce my ksuba because of that. He's arguing maybe it was before the erusin, and then it's a mekach tos. So we said, Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer held that we believe her, and Rabbi Yeshua said, loy mepiyah anu chayin, not necessarily do we believe her, she needs to bring evidence. Well then, over here, when we say like this, in the case of a chershes or a shoita, they themselves are not capable of arguing anything in Beis Din. They don't have full das. But if they were able to, then they would have argued Mishera Stani Nasti. So therefore, Rav Gamliel holds we believe them. So therefore, Ein Lahen Tainas Psulim. So therefore, the husband has no valid Tainas Psulim against them because they could counter argue. And according to Rav Gamliel, we would have to accept that. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua had said, Loim apiyah anu chayin, that we don't necessarily believe her, unless she brings evidence. Well, over here then, even if she were to claim Misher Astani Ne Nasti, we wouldn't believe her, so therefore he has a Tainus Solim. She, or somebody on her behalf, is going to have to bring evidence. So that would be the two brises, whether there is Tainus Solim or not. Nothing to do with Rav Meir. It has to do with this machlokas of Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Some of Farshim also talk about the idea that we mentioned in the first paragraph that one underlying idea in this machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua is the question of does she have a cheskas aguf of having been a psula to begin with. Rav Gamliel holds yes, and Rav Gamliel holds yes. Rabbi Yeshua holds no. So that would come into play here also. Whether we say in each of these cases the cherishes, the shoita, the aloinus, etc. Whether we look at the cheskas aguf that at one time we know for sure she was a psula because she was born that way or not. Anyway. Question is, the Gemara says, Emer d'shamas l'Rav Gamliel hechad d'kotai ne'i. Okay, we find that Rav Gamliel says you believe her if she herself makes the claim. Hechad d'loi kotai ne'i mishamat lei. Where do you find that Rav Gamliel says you would believe her when she herself is not making that claim? We learned back in the first parak, we said that ha'im pesach pasuach matzasi, and she doesn't respond, then actually we believe her, and she's osir, we believe him, and she's osir to him because it may have been that she was mizana, etc. So how are you saying over here? She's not making a claim. That's going to be the answer. But right now, the Gemara is asking a question right. That even Rav Gamliel is only saying when she replies, Misher Astani Ne Nasti or Mukasei Tani or whatever. Yes. The answer is Ain. Yes. Kiven to Amar Rav Gamliel Mehemna. Once Rav Gamliel establishes that we do believe her, well then, going through, then in our case over here, where she's a Chershus and a Shot or a Shota and is not capable of making such an argument, Psach Picha Le'ilim, who then it's the case, the Pasuk says, you have to open your mouth.
Open your mouth
for the mute. Meaning, given that they're not capable of making the claim themselves, then Beis Din have to make the claim on their behalf. Yes. Actually, this Cheskas Aguf over here, Tosfos talks about it. Okay. Then the Braise says that. So that's according to Rav Gamliel. So according to Rav Gamliel, you have a cheskas. Yeah, according to Rav Gamliel, you have a cheskas aguf. That's the thing. Also, we said that there's a cheskas aguf, but against it, there's a chazaka that the husband has the money. So there's a chazaka of money against it. We said that was another reason we said for the machlokas of Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua. So that would come into play over here also. Okay. Then the Braise said, the last Braise that we quoted, "V'habogeres ein l'tainus psulim." That a bogeres, there's no tainus psulim. Question is, what do you mean no tainus psulim? Granted, okay, there's no knas, that for sure, because the Torah says naira mean to exclude a bogeres. But why shouldn't the husband have a tainus psulim? V'amar Rav, bogeres nois no laila harishin. Rav says that when a man marries a bogeres, then you give her the whole first night. You assume that any bleeding that happened that first night is from the psulim. Now, this is not the halacha nowadays. Nowadays, the halacha is boil be'ilach mitzvah or parish, that you do the first be'ilah and then immediately you have to separate and consider her and consider her nida, just in case. Not so much, we know that dam nida and dam psulim are different, but there's concern that we may not be able to tell them apart properly. Or there may have been dam chimud is another matter.
Assume that there's both, in other words.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. We do make certain slight differences in the halachas of a psula versus a regular nida to demonstrate that they're different. One of them is that usually a woman has to wait 5 days after has to wait 5 days before she can make a hefsek tahara and start counting her 17 days. Usually the dinim of taharas hamishpacha are that when a woman becomes nida, whether the bleeding lasts, whether it's a momentary thing or whether it lasts for several days, it's a minimum of 5 days before she's able to do a hefsek tahara and start the shiva nakiyah.
But 5 days of bleeding?
It doesn't matter. Well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter whether the 5 days, whether bleeding is taking place or not. Automatically 5 days. In the case of a psula, 4 days. That's one thing we do to make that distinction. Anyway. But the original halacha was begeres nois in the laila harishin. With a naira, we said we learned in Yevamos that you have up to 4 days because it takes time. Not really a naira actually. It was a question really of whether she had reached the age of becoming of having periods yet, of becoming a nidya. Then we said there's more days because then we can assume that any bleeding is probably from the psulim. But a begeres, usually she could very well be a nida, but we assume that at the whole first night, any bleeding is from the psulim. Well, that means that she has psulim. So then if the husband doesn't find psulim, why shouldn't he have a tainus psulim? The answer is, idikatoin tainus domim hochinami. You're right. As we mentioned in the first parak, there's two kinds of tainus psulim that a husband can have. One is tainus domim, where he claims that ba'alti v'lematzasi dam, we had relations and I didn't find any blood on the sheet or whatever, which we said that's a more serious claim, because that objectively you should be able to find the blood. So if not, then there's strong reason to assume that there were no psulim over there. Except, okay, we had a couple of cases over there where it was covered with shech lazera, or where she was starving, and couldn't bleed, whatever, but under normal circumstances there should be. And then there was the case, we said, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, where he says that I didn't find it as tight as I would expect. Well, a begeris is not as tight anyway. Her body is larger, so she's loosened up a little. So therefore, So if he has a tainus damim, then you're right. He has a valid reason. He has a valid claim there that I didn't find blood. Even a begeris should have blood. So therefore, there's reason to suspect. But what would we be talking about over here when we say that there's no tainus psulim with a begeris? Means if he's arguing pesach pasuach, which that itself is anyway a subjective thing, because we said in the first part. Yes, it's for we said if he was never married, then how can he be expected to know, et cetera, right? But the point is, it's anyway subjective, and yes, in the case of a begeris, you should expect that it's not going to be pesach, that it's going to be a little more pasuach than it would be by naira. Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Hanano, we learned this in the first parak as well, who has the gears to the other way around, that with a begeris, it's more normal that there should be a pesach sasum, that there should not be pesach pasuach, and less expected that there should be blood. That's it.
Why are you saying that?
That's how Rabbeinu Hanano learns the Gemara.
Pasum and without blood?
Yep. He says Tosfos brought, I think, in the first parak is because a begeris already is more mature, so like she's dried up a little more relative to a naira, so therefore she. Okay.
Later on, we talk.
No, we're not talking about an old woman. We're talking about as a begeris, 6 months after puberty. Okay. Okay. Then Braisa said, continued, Sumcha Soma Meshum Rameir, Suma Ein La Tainus Psulim, that we said that according to the mayor, a blind girl, there's no Tainus Psulim. My time is Sumcha, so why should there be a difference between a blind girl and one who sees? Amr Abzera, Mepdeshinech Beta Salgabe Kauka, because she gets banged on the ground. A blind person is going to trip and fall much more often than a sighted person. So it's very likely at some time during her years growing up that she fell down hard enough to break her psulim. The husband should know when he's marrying a blind girl, there's no reason for him to think that her psulim are still intact. Question is, how does that help anything? I mean, many girls fall down at one time or another during... Chavuti means to bang, means they get banged on the ground. The answer is kulu royas maris leiman. The difference is a regular girl, a sighted girl, if they see that their psulim have been damaged and there's blood, umaris leiman, and they'll show their mothers, and their mother will then tell them, you know what? Yes, you're not a psula anymore. Now at that point, this woman is responsible when she's getting engaged to her future husband, she has a responsibility to tell him, I'm not a psula anymore. And if not, then he can argue.
She is a psula, but she doesn't.
Well, but she doesn't have psulim. But he should know. And therefore, if not, then he has to, Rashi says. But she misled him into thinking that she has psulim when she doesn't. Tosfos discusses that and said, let's finish off the line. Zu ein roya, where the blind girl doesn't see anything, so she doesn't know. Ve ein amar of ima, she doesn't show her mother, so therefore she has no reason to think that she's not a psula and to have anything to tell her husband.
She doesn't have an obligation if she saw her daughter blind.
She didn't necessarily see that her daughter fell and lost her psula. Yeah, if she saw, then fine, but not necessarily did she see. The girl might be by herself. Tosfos learns a little differently. Tosfos learns with the blind girl and also actually with the previous cases, the Chershus and the Shoita, Tosfos learns that in all those cases, the argument is that we were arguing that they're considered the equivalent of mukaseits. A summa, a blind girl, because it's so common that she falls, we should assume right off the bat that she's a mukaseit. Well, that's what we're saying. Actually, a blind girl, not, because she. A regular, a sighted girl will see that she lost her psulim, that she's a mukas eight, and the mother will tell her you're mukas eight. So therefore, if she doesn't argue I'm a mukas eight, then the husband can say, well, then why don't you have it? A regular, a sighted girl. This is how Tosfos learns the Gemara. A sighted girl, if she knew that she lost her psulim, then she would, when her husband argues after the wedding, I didn't find b'sulim, ba'alti v'loy matzasi dam, or pesach pasorach matzasi, whatever, she should be able to tell him, I'm mukaseit. If she doesn't tell him I'm mukaseit, then obviously he has a valid concern. Well, then why are there no b'sulim? Whereas in the case of a blind girl, he doesn't have such a counter-argument. She can't tell him mukaseit, because she herself doesn't know she's mukaseit. Because she could... That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos' explanation, it's not a matter of her responsibility to tell him beforehand. It's a matter of what is she able to claim afterwards. Afterwards, when he comes to base him in the Tainus Psulim, is she able to claim Mukaseit? A sighted girl is able to. Whereas a blind girl is not able to, because she had no way of knowing that she ever lost her psulim. She didn't see anything to be able to show her mother and be told that she's a mukaseit. So even if she doesn't argue back, I'm a mukaseit, we should assume that that's the case and tell the husband, I'm sorry, but we can't accept your tainus psulim. That's Tosfos' explanation.
Rashi wouldn't say that.
Rashi says differently, yeah. And again, also, according to Rashi, the vote is, it's a question what she should be telling him beforehand.
And if she didn't,
then he's after that she misled him, and therefore he has a valid claim. Yeah. And again, Tosfos also says before about the Chershus and the Shoita that the vote is that when we say that we argue on their behalf, the argument that we make on their behalf is we say that we should consider them mukaseit. Yeah.
To begin with, without any
because we .
An automatic.
Not like Rashi says before that her argument would have been Mishera Stani Nasti, but rather the argument would be Mokasekani. Yeah. Then the Braisa said, Vayotis Mishum Shemra Ein Lo Leknas V'Lo Pitri, that a woman who has to leave because of Shemra does not have Knas or Pitri, which again we said before, it sounds like it means the case of Moitzi Shemra, where we found that she was Mazana after the Erison. The question is, Vayotis Mishum Shemra Baskilahi. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Knas and Pitri. She gets skiller if we find that she was Mizana.
We said we have proofs here.
That's what it means. Hayotis Mishum Shemra means that we have evidence that she was Mizana. Yeah. She's Baskila. Yeah. And Tosfos points out also that she's also a Ba'ula. If we're talking Hayotis Mishum Shemra, that the husband is bringing a Moiti Shemra claim against her, when does that take place? After they had relations. Well, then she's not a Psula anymore. There's nothing to talk about. Amrav Sheshes Hachakama. Mi Shiyotza Aleh Shemra B'Yaldusa. It doesn't mean a woman who's married now and her husband is arguing against her. No, it's that Hayotis Mishum Shemra, that there's going out about her a bad name. When she was younger, there was she had a bad reputation.
Prior to the marriage.
Well, we're not talking about a marriage over here. We're talking about Onus and Pitri. What we're talking about, before the Onus and Pitri ever happened, she already had a bad reputation as being promiscuous. So then, ain lo loy knas v'loy Pitri. Then there's no knas or Pitri. How exactly do we see that? We'll see in a couple of lines. Amar Papa, Shmamina, we see from that, but if, by the same logic, if we're saying that because there's a shem ra, therefore... So the Rashi says the vote is, so the vote is like this. Rashi says that if there's a shemra on her, then we have to assume that we have to assume there's already a chazaka that she is ba'ula. If she's ba'ula already, then there's no knas. The whole thing only applies to a psula. The Rambam learns differently. The Rambam says the vote is that if there's a shemra on her, again, as the Gemara is going to discuss in a few lines what exactly constitutes a shemra, then the vote is, when do we say the rules of Onus and Mefata apply a girl who it happened as an unusual thing, unexpectedly somebody was Ma'anas to her, unexpectedly, you know, somebody was Mefata her, okay, Mefata is consensual, but still, it was like a one-time thing, as opposed to a girl who's promiscuous, Then she said, the Rambam says, then she's a Kadesha. The Rambam actually holds what she taught there, that a Kadesha is actually a Malchus, that any relations outside of marriage, you get Malchus for. So therefore, the whole concept of Onus and Pitri doesn't apply to her. Because it applies to a regular Bas Yisrael Ksheira who has a one-time thing that happened, not somebody who goes around trying to have relations outside of marriage. Yeah.
That's according to who?
The Rambam.
The Rambam.
Okay.
I understand. I mean, if she is promiscuous, then she doesn't have children.
But not necessarily. That's the thing. The Gemara is going to say soon that people came and brought evidence that she's been trying to talk people into.
Just for trying, doing, she's already.
So that's the thing. According to Rashi, the vote is she tried with some people and they didn't listen to her. But by now, she may have found other people who are willing partners. Therefore, she's a brother.
Could also love it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. But because we're going to talk later on in a couple of blocks from now that if she had relations to like Kadarka, if she still has Besulim Kadarka, then the dinim of Onus and Mefata still apply. But in this case over here, according to Rashi, the vote would be once we have, as the Gemara is going to say soon, we have Edim that say that she was trying, that she propositioned them, then already she has a chazaka of a ba'ula because she probably found other people by now. According to the Rambam, the vote is, no, the fact that she propositioned them already it makes her a kadesha. And then the whole concept of Onus and Mepasa doesn't apply to a kadesha. Yeah. Anyway, Amara Papa, Shmamina, what we see from this, a similar idea, Hai Shtara Ria, if you have a star which there is reason to suspect its authenticity, there's a rumor going around, there's a shame on it, there's evidence been brought that it's forged, Loi Magbinin, then you can't collect with it. Now the question is, Heichidami, what are we talking about? Do we just mean that there's rumors going around that this star is forged? Well then, then the equivalent in the case of the girl over here would have to be that there's rumors going around that she's promiscuous. The problem is, that doesn't make her oisipsula. Even if there's rumors going around in town that she's mizana, we're not concerned about it. And Rashi says, we even allow her to marry a kohen. We're not concerned that she was mizana with somebody who was awesome to her. Just a rumor is not enough to establish anything. So it can't just be a rumor. Ellen, no. To also Beitre, the case. But that's the thing, you do. In order to pass her the kohuna, or to pass her the kohuna, you need aid. But that's the thing. We're saying over here, a curl is not enough to pass her. So why would a curl be enough to pass her star? Ella, no. The case would be like this. The also Beitre, two aidim come to Beit Din v'Amru, v'Amri, and they say, L'dithu t'vatani b'Yisura. This girl propositioned both of us to do a Dvar Isser with her. We didn't listen, because obviously if they listen, then she's not a Masula anymore, there's nothing to talk about. But in that case, then we're saying, then Onus and Pitru doesn't apply anymore. You can't coin Tadashi because she has a Cheskas Behola, because even though these two guys didn't listen to her, probably other people did. Or according to the Rambam because she's a Kadesha. Well, the Tavasahacha, so what would be the parallel case in the case of the Shtar? That would have to be the Osu Beit Shrei. Two people came to Beit Din, for Amri, and they say, Lidipu Amalahu Zaifuli. Suppose that two people come to Beit Din and say that this guy who has the Shtar in his possession came to us and told us forge a Shtar for me. Sign on this Shtar, even though it's not genuine. So the question is, Bishleim Ahasim, Shchichi Prutzen. Okay, when it comes to the case of the girl, fine. I mean, there are Prutzen around. You may have these two Adim held themselves back and didn't want to have anything to do with her, but there are other people around who will. So therefore, there's reason to assume that she found somebody willing to go along with her. That either according to Rashi, she's Ba'ula, or according to them, she's a Kadesha. Elohacha, but in the case of the forged document, what's the problem? Okay, this guy may now have a chazaka of being the type to want a star forged for him. The rest of the Jewish people have no such chazaka. Why should we assume that he found any two edim who are willing to forge signatures for him? The answer is, Hachanami, kiven dekomahader as a yufa, yes, but in this case, if he's looking to try and forge a signature, and he actually went and propositioned two edim for that, then we have to be concerned that he himself may have forged it. He himself may have learned to copy the signatures of other people and write out the whole shtar himself and make it look like it came from Adim. That's what we mean over here. So therefore, yes, once Adam came and say that he came and tell Beis Din that he asked people to forge this document for him, then already we have to consider that document puzzle. Unless of course other Adam come and say. And therefore similar to our case over here where if two Adam come and say that she propositioned them, then onus and pizzeri doesn't apply.
We're taking away the chazaka that Kol Yisrael
No, so we're saying that he himself may be the forger. Lav Dafka, he found. Yeah, not that he found two other people to sign. He wouldn't have. But he suggested the two people. They turned him down. So he himself went and started learning how to forge signatures.
The girl never suggested anything.
She did. We just said she suggested the two people, and they came to Beis Din and reported to have relations. Yeah. No, Lav Dafka. No, the pashas could be one and then the other. In the case of the Shtar, by the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch, we don't say that all other Shtaris that this guy has a puzzle, we don't assume that all the other Shtaris he has a puzzle, as long as if he went to Adam and said, please forge for me this Shtar, you know, I want to pretend that Shimon owes me $100, please forge a Shtar for me. As opposed to, if he just goes to Adam and says, please forge me a Shtar, then yes, all of his Shtaris are now suspect. Yeah. Mishnah says, the Elu She'en Lehen Knas. The following cases, the girl does not get the Knas. Habala Giyoris, if she is Bala Shvoya, Bala Shivcha, Shinifdu, Vishinisgadu, Vishinistachu, Yiseiris, Albanais, Shalashanam Yamechad, a Giyoris, or a woman who was taken prisoner, or Shivcha, who were freed, or emancipated when they were older than three, which then again there's reason to suspect that there may have been Be'ila over here, and after three the Besulim don't grow back, so therefore they have a chazaka of not being Besulis anymore. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Shavuya Shanifta Sarayev Kdushata. A Shavuya who was redeemed still has her same Kdusha, Apapisha Gdola, even though she's older. We don't suspect, as the Gemara is going to say. No, we didn't actually. In the previous parak, we talked as a general thing that a shavuya is aser unless there's evidence that she stayed tar. Rabbi Yehuda, we said no. He said even one aid is enough. But Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with that whole concept. Actually, some of the farshim say that not necessarily is he arguing with the whole concept. He might only be saying over here. He might only be saying. Actually, the Gemara is going to say that he may only be saying over here that over here in our Mishnah that we don't take away her chazaka being a besula. Because of the shivya, because we don't want the guy who did onus or pittery to gain from it. But not necessarily would he say that in the normal case that she's mutter to a kayin. Rashi over here says the Gemara says over here, well, Rav Dosa says anyway, that, we'll see in the Gemara, actually. Continues the Mishnah. Habal bitoy, a man does onus of pittery on his daughter, abas bitoy, his granddaughter, abas benoy, his son's daughter, abas ishtoy, his wife's daughter, abas benoy, abas bita, ein lehen knas. In all those cases, there's no knas. But neshem is chayiv benashrei because he's chayiv misa. Shem yisosim bidei beis din, because in all these cases there's misas beis din. V'cholam is chayiv benashrei and mishal amomen. And as we dealt with extensively in the sugya in the last few days, any person who is mischayef benafshe does not pay money. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "V'im lo yeosin onish yeonish." If there's no osin, if there's no din of death penalty, then he has to pay money. Implying, but if there is a death penalty, then he doesn't. And we discussed that extensively. One thing is, by the way, the Yerushalmi brings up an interesting point. Why do we need to mention this whole business of kam lebedadavimine? Usually we say that the knas, at least in the case of the daughter, the rule is, we'll learn at the beginning of the next parak, that the knas for a girl, for a naira, goes to her father. So obviously, if the father himself is the onus of the mafata, then he's potter from knas anyway, because what's he going to do, pay himself? So why does the Mishnah even have to mention bitri? So the Yerushalmi gives a couple of answers, and the Rishonim discuss them quite extensively. One answer could be if the father dies afterwards, then the question is, if it was a matter of that he's chayev in the knas, then she'll inherit it from the estate. If not, if it's a matter of kam libedudavimine, then there's no knas in the first place. That's one possibility. There's others. She may have been niskadish afterwards, and then she leaves her father's rishos. It may be that by the time the case comes to Beis Din, she's a begeret, and then the money belongs to her rather than to her father, etc.
Different
situations, yeah. Thing about it is, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dosa, Amr Dover Echad. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa are both saying effectively the same thing about a Shavuya. Rabbi Yehuda Hadamar, and we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda says that a Shavuya still has her Kedusha, therefore we still consider her Basula, and she gets the Knas. Rabbi Dosa, where do we see, the Tanya, Abraisa says, Shavuya echelas b'truma divi Rabbi Dosa. A Shavuya eats truma, is still able to eat truma, even if she's a Bas Koyin. She can still eat truma. We're not concerned that she became chalala or zayna, as the case may be, by one of the captors forcing her to have relations with him. Divir Abdoisa. And Amr Abdoisa, and Abdoisa says further on that, after all, what did this Arab, the captor, do to her? Just because he squeezed between her breasts, should he pass? In other words, he played around with her. Should that pass over from Kohana? Obviously not. He's saying, in other words, even Arabs, and the Tosfos points out, the Arabs are shtufim bezima. They're very promiscuous. Even they, Rav Dosa is saying, even if she was captured by Arabs, still there's no reason to suspect that they actually violated her, they actually raped her. At most, maybe they played around with her, they felt her up or whatever. But so therefore, she shouldn't be possible in a corner. Maybe. Amar Rabba, Dumaloihi. So Rabba says, not no, Rabba says on the side, not necessarily. Who says that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa really agree with each other? You know why Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here we'll ignore the fact that she's a Shvuya and treat her as still 100% a Basula? Because we don't want the Choyte, we don't want the person who did the onus or pitri to gain. We don't want to give him a loophole to get out of paying the money. Therefore, we should assume for that purpose that she's a Basula.
But usually
we shouldn't have a Hasam Karabanan to realize. But when it comes to Truma or any other things of Kohona, maybe he would agree with the Rabbanan that a Shvuya has the dinim that we discussed in the previous Perek. Inami, or the other way around, you could say, Ad Kamam Lakam Rab Dosa Hasam Elab Truma de Rabbanan. Maybe Rab Dosa is only talking about that we'll allow her to eat Truma de Rabbanan. It's only the Rabbanan, not the Raisa. Aber Knas, the Raisa, when it comes to the Knas, which is something that exists, the Raisa, Kirabanan Svirale, maybe Rab Dosa would hold like the Rabbanan, that you have to assume that a Shavuya has been raped, and that she's not a Basula anymore, and therefore the onus of the Pitri now is there's no Knas, because the Knas only applies to a Basula. So what are you telling me then? You're saying that Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, you want to say that the only reason he holds the Shvuya gets the Knas is only Shloyei Chotin Nisker, so that the onus or Mafata doesn't wiggle out of it, doesn't benefit. V'hatanya, but we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shvuya Shenishpes Reivu Kedushasa. He says that a Shvuya, that a woman who was taken captive, still has her Kedusha. Afilu Bas Eser Shonim Ksubasa Masayim. So even if she was captured when she was 10 years old, and the Rashash explains why the Braisa says 10 years old, one thing is he refers to a Gemara in Kedushin that mentions that at 10 years old already, a girl, even though she hasn't usually reached puberty yet, she's already starting to develop a certain body awareness. Like she'd be embarrassed to be undressed in front of the opposite sex, in front of her father or brothers or what have you. So even if she's 10 years old, which is long after 3 weeks, now in that case, what chote nisker? We're talking about over here whether she gets a ksuba of 100 or 200. Nobody did any averus. So why would Rabbi Yehuda? Obviously Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying that a shvuya we outright consider a psula. Now, he does say, like Rav Dosa, that we would assume that nothing ever happened. The answer is no. Hasam nami, jomim mimni evilin nasvila. No, you could say that the chote nisker means that Rabbi Yehuda would say that you don't want, if you were to consider her a ba'ula, if you were to consider the shvuya a ba'ula, and therefore say that the ksuba is 100, people are not even going to want to marry her. They're going to think of her as a damaged goods. So better, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, better let's consider her a psula, so that she'll get 200, so people will be eager to marry her. But not necessarily for kohuna, would he agree to that? Maybe as far as kohuna is a stricter thing. Continue tomorrow, Rabbi Hashem.